Okay, Brother Bob Huff is going to read some scripture and have our morning prayer.
Good morning again. I think I'm louder. Can everyone hear me? All right. You say that now. Turn you up. Turn me up. Can you hear me now? Okay. I feel like a commercial. I'd like to read Psalm 121, if you'd open your Bibles. Please. It's on page 987 in my Bible. I think it's good for us to hear the word of the Lord as we begin to worship the Lord. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber or sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand, and the sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm, and he will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. It's a good promise. Let us pray. Father, as we come before you to hear your word, to worship you, to praise the name of Jesus, by your grace, let us put aside the things of the world and turn our attention to you, because you know everything. You know each one of us, and you love each one of us. So may our thoughts be on you, that we might praise you rightly. In Jesus' name, amen. Our first song is number 10, Majesty. I'm new here.
Yeah.
Okay, if you turn in your hymn books to number 10, He, Majesty, stand as we sing.
Good morning. Will the kids please come forward for a little morning message? As we like to say, let the children come. Let's go sit down here. She likes to be over here by herself, but we like being with her. And that's okay. Everything's okay. This is church. This is a safe spot. Good morning. I hope everybody's doing well. All right, raise your hand if it seems like your parents are always telling you what to do. Understood. And it's okay. It's not fun, but it's okay. How about clean your room? Do you ever hear that one? You hear that one? I used to hear that a lot too. Well, I've got some things in here. Speaking of cleaning rooms, this is one of my grandson's toys. If he leaves this on the floor, it's a wonderful burglar alarm for the middle of the night. Because for some reason, Pop-Pop seems to find us with his bare feet in the middle of the night. So when I say clean your room, I mean it. How about this? You know what this is? Cauliflower, it's a vegetable. Do you like eating your vegetables? You do? Well, that's a good thing. When I was your age, I didn't, and my parents made me stay at the table until I finished. But you know why? It's because they knew what's better for me. So sometimes we don't like obeying our parents. But God wants us to obey our parents. It's one of His commandments is to obey, love, respect our parents or our grandparents or whoever's taking care of us. That's because the hope there is that through the days, we will become better people. So they have our best intentions in mind, and so does God. In fact, in one of the books of the Bible, Ephesians, it says, "Children, you belong to the Lord, and you do the right thing when you obey your parents." The first commandment says, "Obey your father and your mother, and if so, the promise is that you will have a long and happy life." And the reason God wants us to obey our parents is for many different reasons, but one of the reasons is that through time, we will learn to be nice to other people too. So if we're nice to our parents, after a while, we will learn to be nice and respectful to other people. Now, I do want to let you know that sometimes, just sometimes, parents or somebody else may tell us to do something or say something that is not God-like. And that makes God unhappy. So if that ever happens, find another adult and ask them or tell them what's going on. But God wants us to obey our parents and to learn from them. All right? So when they say clean your room or eat your vegetables, they're thinking of you and they want you to grow up big and strong and be good people. Can we pray for a minute? Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for our parents and our grandparents and those that take care of us. Help us obey our parents by doing things like keeping our rooms clean and eating our vegetables. And that'll make us better people and help us love other people in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. Hey, I do have some coloring sheets for you guys to do. So you can color something and put it up on someone's refrigerator where all the best art in the world goes. You guys have a great day.
It's good to bring your dog to church with you. Okay, time for morning prayer. Do we have anything else that needs to be, that's not on a prayer list that needs to be addressed? If not, let us pray. Father, now we come to you and we thank you for this time that you've given us together, Lord. We thank you for each family represented here this morning. We pray for the children as they go back that they would learn something this morning that would help them through life, not only for what they learned in here this morning, but even as they do their lesson. We would ask now that for those that are on our prayer list, and many there are, we pray, Lord, that you would be with each one of them for each need. We ask that you would meet that need if it be your will. I think of the deacons, and may we ask for prayer for those, for our church family, for our military families and first responders, for our country, our world, nation of Israel, and also for our senior care facilities that have people in them that we know. We also pray this morning for caring and sharing at Appalachian. We pray for that ministry, Lord, and soon be time to, with Thanksgiving and then again at Christmas, that we share with them the things that we have in the way of food and other things. We ask now that, Lord, we would remember those things and those people also, Lord, that need us on a regular basis. I think of our county and the things that are going on in each county, Lord. We would ask that you'd be with the first responders and also the police, Lord, as they try to keep order in the things that need to be done. We pray now that you would answer our prayer according to your perfect will. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's see. Our next process is hymn number 437, Send the Light. 437. Stand as we sing, please.
Good morning again. I would like to clarify one thing from last week before I go on to this week's message. I mentioned having a powwow session with my kids at times, and I wanted to let you know that I did not leave it there. Powwow, and, you know, let them go. That's necessary sometimes. But I sought to make sure that they knew that they were forgiven and restored to fellowship, and that it was their action and not them that was the problem. Sometimes we forget to do that. I also made sure that I never punished in anger. If I was angry about what they did, I stepped away, calmed down, and then administered justice, as it were. Anyway, I wanted to make that clear, and I appreciate your forbearance. So today we are continuing James, still in chapter 1. But verses 5 through 8 and verse 12. This is the word of the Lord. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. In verse 12, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let us pray. Father, as we come now to hear and to study and absorb your word, give us ears to hear. Give us hearts to receive. And give us the desire to do what you say. I ask that it would be your voice that is heard today and not that of a man, because your voice has authority, your word has authority. So let us, in your grace, hear from you today and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we talked about going through trials, about it being a test of our faith that produces perseverance. James says we should let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, quoting him, not lacking anything. Someone sent me a quote this morning from a minister in Florida named Burke Parsons. And it goes like this: when we run from trials, we are often running from God's best for us. When we try to ignore our trials, we are forgetting God's way of often answering our prayers. When we don't run to God in our trials, we are running from his work of conforming us to the image of his Son. Most of the time we want trials to be over as soon as possible, right? Like yesterday. But God does not work that way, because he is seeking to conform us to the image of his Son. to be made holy, to be made pure, to be made humble. Last week I asked how many had humility at the top of the list of things to be. Should I ask the question again today? Don't feel bad. One time I did the Ten Commandments and did a test each week to see how much they'd learned. But they got cheat sheets from somebody. The following verses that we just read address something we often lack, and that is wisdom. So what is wisdom anyway? In the third chapter of James' letter, verses 13 to 18, he speaks of two kinds of wisdom. He says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it. Do not deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it is earthly, unspiritual, even demonic. For where you have envy and special or selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." Which kind of wisdom do you want? The earthly or God's? Now, Webster defines wisdom. In time, that as it goes on, you may learn that I go to Webster's quite often. But he defines wisdom with terms like discernment, insight, scholarly knowledge, say that three times, or learning. Now, this is a secular definition, but it does have spiritual dimensions to it. Faith can be strengthened by knowledge, but knowledge by itself doesn't always lead to faith, does it? Jesus criticized the religious people of his day for intently searching the scriptures, but never discerning him among the pages. At other times, they rejected the message of Jesus for the sake of their traditions and their man-made rules. And in their knowledge and wisdom, they ended up rejecting and finally crucifying the Lord of glory because he didn't fit their expectations of what the Messiah should be. Of course, they couldn't have read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. And you know why? It hadn't been written yet. But there Paul writes, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate." The Pharisees and teachers of the law would have been familiar with the writings of the prophet Isaiah. And Paul continues, "Where is the wise person, the teacher of the law, the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to Jews. And foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the wisdom and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. In verse 30, the apostle says, it is because of him, of God the Father, that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. So back in James, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God. Coming as this does after the discussion about trials, this means that the wisdom we're seeking is to help us handle those trials in a way pleasing to God. Because God gives generously to all without finding fault. And as often as we ask for wisdom, he is pleased to give it generously. Is that good news? When we ask in faith, God never says, I just told you last week. Don't you ever listen? How many times have you said that or heard that from your parents? How many times have you said that to your kids? If I told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. Are you awake? But God does not spend time finding fault when we ask for wisdom. Again, he gives it generously. James does say, however, that, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Doubting says a person is not completely convinced that God's way is best. Such a person treats God's word as a resource, and a merely human one at that, and reserves the right to accept or reject what they see as God's advice. They're likely to waver between following their subjective feelings and the world's ideas on the one hand, and God's commands on the other. Again, as James says, such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. There are no conditions placed on praying for wisdom except perhaps our own. I've heard some people say that they pray as a last resort. When they've tried with all their own ideas and they don't work, then they pray. Anyone ever been there? And there's no limit on how often we can ask God for wisdom. Is there a limit on how many problems we deal with on a regular basis? No. And we need wisdom from God to handle every one of them. In James 5, chapter or verse 13, we read, is any one of you in trouble? Let him pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Y'all did a really good job on that song, by the way. Thank you. And we don't stop praying just because things are going well. Too often when everything is just peachy, and that happens sometimes, we neglect to thank the one who holds each of us in his hands for the blessings he has given. Consider the 10 lepers who came to Jesus and were healed. How many came back to say thank you? One. And he was a Samaritan. He was a foreigner. The book of Proverbs, have you ever read that? Has much to say about wisdom. But what did Solomon say was the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord is where it all starts. Unless we start there, the pursuit of wisdom is futile. You know, many people say, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Wisdom says, God is right all the time. Once we, you, I, accept the fact that God is always right, we're on the path to true wisdom. And a couple of things begin to take place. We'll spend less time arguing with God. You ever argued with God? Today? We will begin to experience true humility. We might even begin to seek wisdom from God before we get into some kind of trouble. And who knows? It just might be that if we talk to Him more often, which is what prayer is, we'd have fewer troubles to contend with. Think so? Wisdom is taking what we know and putting it into practice. And when we ask God for wisdom, we're actually asking for more of Jesus in our lives. Again, as Paul said to the Corinthians, Christ Jesus has become for us wisdom from God. Jesus often spent the whole night in prayer talking with his Father. He did this the night before he chose the 12 disciples. Before making that choice, he asked his Father, Who do you want? Who, therefore, should I pick? When the disciples sought to replace Judas, they prayed and cast lots, trusting God to show them the right choice. Now, casting lots back then was more than just flipping a coin or tossing the dice. This was the Father showing them his choice in a way they could understand. They knew that Jesus said, Who of you, if your son asked for bread, would give him a stone? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, when you ask, will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit? They believed and didn't doubt that, as it says in James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. We'll be sharing the Lord's Supper shortly. And we're reminded by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:27 and on, So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread or drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment upon themselves. Again, there may be some who are trying to minimize or ignore the trial this church has been going through. I think that Lady Pat, who got up here afterwards, said something about sweeping under the rug and just trying to go on. But Jeremiah accused the priests in his day of this. They dress the wounds, the sin of my people, as though it weren't serious. Cleansing has to be thorough. When your kid cleans his room, you shouldn't have to go back and finish the job. They should do a thorough job. I never cleaned my room, but never mind. Yes, I did. Eventually, I told my daughter one time that, when I can see the floor of your room, you can go out and play. You may relate to that. But let us pledge to seek wisdom from God, to humble ourselves before Him. Because what He has planned for this church, and He does have plans for this church, is for your best, is for His glory. It is for His kingdom. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank You that You have given us the Bible. You have revealed Yourself to us in its pages. And You've revealed Yourself to us most perfectly in Your Son, Jesus. Jesus said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Give us the wisdom to take time to seek Your face, to desire Your glory, and to act as the children of our Father. That is a great privilege, a great right. We thank You for Your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Two, please. You may be seated. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus, the Father opened the way for the redemption of our souls. The Father sent the Holy Spirit to live in us who believe, to lead us into all truth. And walking in the truth is to walk as Jesus walked, which is a path to eternal life. At this time, we remember what it cost the Father who gave his only begotten Son Jesus gave us these simple elements with which to remember him. But don't take this lightly. This did cost the Father his Son, and it cost Jesus not only the physical death, which we don't want to look at, think about. But he was willing to be separated from his Father as he took our sin upon himself. As I read earlier, examine yourselves for a minute. Do you have to be perfect to come to this table? I hope not. But don't do it as some ritual, something that's done on the first day of each Sunday of each month. Know that this represents the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just know you're with us all the time, and we want to give you the praise and the glory for sending your one and only Son to die on that cross that day for us, so that we one day could be with you in paradise. Dear Lord, be with each one here. Fill them with the Spirit, dear Lord, for we are here for you to spread your word and to love each other. Amen.
Amen. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and broke it, saying, each one of you, eat from this. This is my body. Again, Jesus said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat." And after they finished supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is my blood, the new covenant," marking a new covenant. The old is gone, the new has come.
Father, we thank you that you were willing to go to the cross for our sins,
yes.
That your blood was shed, Lord, and we know that your blood is still saving today.
That's
we would ask now, Lord, as we take this cup of remembrance, Lord, that you would deal with our hearts if we're not where we need to be, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul said that as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the death of Jesus Christ until he returns.
Amen.
And he has promised to return. There's good news. Each of you, Father, we thank you that you have given us such a simple way to remember what it cost you to save us. Give us hearts of gratitude and let us have the wisdom to look forward to the return of Jesus and the beginning of his reign, which will last forever and ever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
I believe we sing number 426, is it?
Let's be the time.
Do what?
Let's be the time.
Blessed be the tie that binds. Do you all stand for that, or do you all join hands? No, don't do that. Okay. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. We just know the first verse. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face to shine upon you and give you peace.